Hi, and welcome to a brand new episode of the India Insights Navigating Alliances podcast, a series exploring the intersection of technology, collaboration, and innovation. In each episode, we orchestrate insights, stories, perspectives from across the UI partner ecosystem, our client base, and our leadership to address the important issues and challenges of today. I am your host, Sudhir Ramakrishnan, and joining me today are two stalwarts in the world of alliances, Jens Pocht Nielsen, EMEA Head of Alliances, and Sibjyoti Basu, EY India Alliances and Ecosystems Leader, to discuss how India's alliance strategies have resulted in best-in-category performances over the past few years and what lies in store for the future. Jens, Sib, thank you very much for being a part of today's episodes. It's a privilege to have you both on board. Hi, Jens. So the first question is to you. What has been the biggest takeaway from your visit to India with regards to the lay of land for alliances?
So, thank you very much. It was an absolute pleasure to spend a full week in India, a week that was long overdue. I think the thing that's standing out the most is probably the passion of our team in India, passion for doing more, and a team that's already, should I say, already over the last couple of years grown tremendously. But I think a real appetite for doing more, getting engaged with deals, offering to take on scope, services, new projects, not just in India, but also across the rest of our client estate. So another takeaway from my visit was obviously with great excitement, we met with a lot of our partners. We met with SAP, we met with Adobe, we had meetings with Tech Mahindra, Microsoft, IBM. And I think, and it was great to see that the connection with all those partners and more, they are eager to do business with EY. And obviously they all work with multiple partners, but it was really nice to see how much they actually lean in to working with EY. They appreciate the relationship. Some of the conversations were quite frank. I think one of them that's standing out was IBM, that was really sort of pushing us hard to make sure that we pick the areas where we want to engage, where we want to be collaborating very closely with them. And you always feel a little bit when you feel partners are maybe, if not telling you off, but certainly leaning in, but it's because they care, because they want to drive business. It's much better to have these business, these meetings than people to just meet for a coffee. So I was really taken back with the level of interaction, the depth of the conversation, the how much the partners were pushing to do more with us. And I see a lot of, I go to a lot of meetings across particularly Europe, and I was in the Middle East the week before India. And it's great to see when our clients and our alliance partners are really pushing us very, very hard to do more with us. And that's a great testimony to the team in India, how close you're collaborating with our partners, but also a recognition of there's a lot more for us to do, to connect with service lines, to connect with fields of play, to make sure that what we do with our partners is very differentiated to competition.
Thank you very much for that. Now, let me just build on that. What are some of the key opportunity areas that you believe that we should bet on in the upcoming months and years?
So a couple of areas that I think stood out when I was doing my tour in India. I think the confidence of our team in India, the skills, breadth, and capabilities that we have there, not just for EY, but across the sector in India, I think that is going to be a game changer in the years to come. Having that concentration of talent in IT and business process, I think that's really going to out-rival certainly many parts of Europe, but also parts of the US. We'll see a lot of AI-based companies born in India, more so than in the past. And AI, of course, is going to drive, I think, going to drive the agenda for the next few years. but also the wave of captives for global companies that are setting up in India at a accelerating rate, not just to move certain projects out, but moving core business process to India and having India as the hub for where they run, create new services from. And that's a piece we really need to get our hands around.
Thanks for that, Jens. Sim, your take on that, would you like to build on what Jens just shared upon?
No, so there, I think I completely agree with what Jens has shared, and I think what his sort of take on India is. I think what's really worked for us, if you honestly ask me, is our early alignment to this whole industry verticals. And that's made our propositions, partnering with our alliances, a lot more sharper. You know, in terms of being more relevant to the outcomes, to the problem statements that our clients face, you know, in specific industries, and hence our appreciation of what those issues are and how can we really, as business integrators, align some of the insights that we derive on the business side, as well as apply that to some of our, you know, alliance partners and the solutions that they have to offer. I think that's really worked for us, and hence the success that we see with our clients and the value and the recognition that we get from our alliance partners as well. The second piece, I think Jens touched upon it as well, in terms of the amount of passionate and frugal innovation that's happening in India, you know, in terms of the digital assets and solutions and the artifacts that we are building out, which are powered by alliances. So if I look at some of our, you know, very, very solid and robust tax solutions and platforms that we've built out, you know, through our alliances, in terms of the sustainability assets, you know, which are extremely market leading, again, powered by alliances. So clearly some of those elements that where our clients see those opportunities and challenges and our ability to align and innovate and co-innovate with our alliances has been really, very powerful and differentiating for us. And lastly, if I look at the whole talent piece, again, you know, we all know that India is a great, you know, sort of platform for accessing, you know, deeply capable, you know, and technically very robust talent there. But given the whole talent pool, the vibrancy of the economy, the amount of, you know, digital explosion that we are seeing, let me call it digital and steroids, skilling cannot be undermined in terms of what we need to do for our people. Again, the categorical and the programmatic skilling and enablement that we've done for our teams, for our people, you know, for relevant to their respective alliances and the platforms, again, has made us stand out, you know, with our clients. Again, you know, one of the key metrics that we've seen ourselves top of the ranks again with our alliance partners also is the amount of focus that we've brought in through the learning, skilling, and certification. At EY, as all of you would know, in terms of the EY badges that we have that are now linked to some of the technical training programs, it's just been a fantastic journey in terms of seeing the outreach that our people are doing. And honestly, when we go to our campus, when we go and look at new, you know, the new millennial hiring, if I may, essentially a lot of those questions that come up is saying, what are we going to learn? What's the firm going to do? And I think we're clearly very, very proud in terms of the whole skilling journey, the skilling map that we provide our people.
Thank you very much, Prasad. That was very insightful. Jens, coming back to you, you mentioned something that I want to have a bit of a deep dive on. What role do you see India playing in the overall EY global captive strategy?
So I think India will have a very central role. What I didn't realize before the visit was the growing trend of more of the captives, not just reestablish themselves in India, but also materially growing the scope of services that they run, orchestrate, and build out of India. So we, as EY, advise a number of clients to actually embrace the strategy of establishing their centers in India. But one of the things that I certainly discovered more when I was there was the breadth of services that companies are looking to put into the center. So I think we will see this as a massive growth opportunity. We also, as a part of the campaign activities we're setting up, we're looking to go back into the headquarter companies or countries to make sure that we are on the slate of providers that can bid for services for the captives directly in India. We see a lot more purchasing power sitting in those captives. We also had a really interesting discussion with ServiceNow. So I spent quite a bit of time with ServiceNow, and this is ideally positioned for them because they sit right in the middle of ITSM or the whole ticketing system, but core business service or global business services. And we had a really fruitful discussion with them around establishing a experience center in India that they will pay for, where we look at how can we position global business services to our client base, how can we use ServiceNow as the core in those captives to help connect with not just the headquarter countries, but multiple countries for those organizations around the globe, and how can we use that as a springboard to build out more services, not just in core IT, but around risk, human capital management, cyber, you name it, quite a few opportunities. So I'm quite excited about that we can accelerate this business quite rapidly. And as EY, we're very well positioned to help our clients with this here, more so than most of our traditional competitors. Just think about what we can do around supporting around tax and finance, and as I mentioned, risk or human capital management or people consulting. There's quite a few opportunities for us where we can differentiate ourselves, we can compete, and we can make a real difference for our clients. So I think this is a untapped additional potential for EY, if I can call it so.
Thank you for that, Jens. Let me just slightly change tracks. Siv, I had a query for you. When you look at India as compared to our peers, what do you see as our strengths? And perhaps what would you say are some key takeaways that we can learn from other mature markets and practices?
I'm sure Jens sees this more broadly than I do, but at least from an India perspective, the way I look at it is that, some of the, as I covered earlier, some of the innovation that we are driving that's built for India but ready for global, and we've seen a lot of success around the assets that we've built out, clearly makes us stand out amongst some of the other areas and regions. And secondly, given that we have got this large talent pool, the amount of clinical coverage that we've done around some of these new age technologies for our people, again, has been very, very special. Outside whatever else I've talked about from an industry and a coverage standpoint, one sort of area where India has stood out over the last several years among some of our other colleagues has been the area where alliances per se has been a very strong pivot around how we measure the growth of our business and the impact it's had on our overall business as a firm in India, as well as in terms of specific impact on industries and accounts within that. So clearly, I think that is where India stands out in terms of the penetration that we've been able to get into our accounts and sectors has been, again, very, very special, which is again, clearly ahead of the pack. An area where we are, again, witnessing pretty much across the globe a significant trend that as our clients' own industries are becoming, or at least industry boundaries are becoming more fungible, that, it's no longer one industry, but, a large telecom corporation essentially also is going into financial services, as we are witnessing in the country as well as globally. It's increasingly requiring us as consultants to them to also converge our own technology partnerships to offer the best transformative solutions for our clients. So it's no longer going to be one product company or one technology partnership that we have, but it's essentially going to be a convergence of more than one, at least in terms of how we are able to bring in the best of breed solutions to address the transformative outcomes that our clients are trying to achieve. So it's going to be on a product on cloud or through some other hyperscaler. It's going to be some data platform that is being leveraged, some very, very agile, e-commerce platform that needs to be stood out in next 90 days. I think if we have those kind of client expectations, we will need to bring in the larger ecosystem partnerships for our alliances as well, and the larger extended organization to be able to deliver value to our clients and make ourselves relevant. So that's an area where I think we are seeing a clear drift in the marketplace globally as well as in India, and something that we are picking up as we see this and being more strategic about it as well. I don't know, Jens, if you see this something similar.
Absolutely. I just wanted to add on to this here. I think we have to recognize the concentration of skills, competencies, and insight that we have in our locations in India. And if you compare it with, I hope I'm not offending anyone out there, but if you go to, let's say, Gothenburg in Sweden, and again, something close to my heart around ServiceNow, we have a very small team around ServiceNow there. We might be mature there in the sense of how we connect and with our clients, but when we look at building solutions, when we build at the skills base that we have to go into deep implementations for our clients, we really need that concentration of skills that can go and build out for our clients. And that's where the strength of the centers that we have in India really come into play. And we should continue to push for further integration, further collaboration. We should push for that all teams out there need to embrace and accelerate what we are doing jointly with our teams across India. I think that would be a real strength for us. The deeper and more complex our programs become, the more we need that industrial strength of access to skills and competencies. And as I said a little bit earlier, I think the world has underestimated a little bit the sort of I was about to call the sleeping giant that we have in India. And I do, as I said, when we look at sort of the next decade ahead, I think we'll see with that strength there will be more large scale international IT companies, new software companies that's born directly in India, not just to provide outsourcing services and other system integration service, but actually born into driving front-end technology development, software, etc. That's going to be super exciting, and we need to embrace that as well.
Thank you very much for that, Jens. Now, I'll just move on to a slightly lighter note after that very enriching conversation. So we have in mind a quick rapid fire. So perhaps I could start with Siv, if that's all right. Siv, yeah. Are you on the buzzer?
Yeah.
All right. So Siv, the first question I have for you is, what's your favorite AI assistant? Is it Siri? Is it Alexa? Or is it something else entirely?
I would go with Bing Copilot. I have to obviously be loyal to what I do, right? So I would generally go with Bing Copilot and everything else that, the Copilot is essentially, my smart assistant, or maybe the smarter me.
What's the app that you waste the most time on your phone? And LinkedIn doesn't count.
In recent times, maybe a bit of Instagram, given there was a very lavish wedding that was, that was doing the rounds in India. But I think my preferred professional sort of social media, if you like, is LinkedIn. And then a bit on the financial app side, which is Money Control.
Thank you very much, Siv. So now I head over to Jens once again for the second part of the rapid fire round. So here you go. Jens, you had a trip to 3 cities in India. Which city do you want to look forward to visiting the most and when?
Oh, wow. This one here. That is a that's a tough one. I don't think I can answer that in one question. So when I arrived, the immigration officer reminded me that I had been to India 22 times. And that has predominantly been in Mumbai and in Bangalore. I was very impressed with the development of infrastructure in both the cities. The Bangalore new airport was just outstanding. I'd never been to New Delhi before, and I arrived at 8 o'clock in the morning and I left about 1 a.m. So I probably controversially have to say New Delhi, but that's more because I'm curious. I actually didn't see anything of Delhi. I literally saw the airport, the office, a restaurant, and then the airport again. So apologies to offending anyone out there, but that's out of curiosity because I've been to the other cities probably more than 10 times each.
If given a choice, would you like to go back in history or move forward in time?
That's a really good question. I love history. Absolutely love it. I'm curious about the future, but I love history. And I would probably go back in time. There's plenty of periods in history that I would love to witness firsthand. So probably back in time.
Thank you very much, Jens. That was an intensely insightful conversation. There are a lot of points that we can look back upon. Any last thoughts on your visit to India?
Yes. So just a big, big thank you for all the arrangements, all the hospitality, the great, great conversations, the town hall meetings. I met a lot of people during the 5 days there, and it was both an eye opener, but also see a lot of opportunities coming out of this visit here. And I'm really looking forward to the next one. I had a great, great time. As the immigration officer reminded me, I hadn't been to India for at least 5 years. So I'll definitely plan for my next return. But again, thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the friendliness. Looking forward to my next visit, and as always, just reach out if there's anything. Ping me on Teams or LinkedIn or others to connect. It's great to be connected with the team there. So a real memorable experience.
Once again, thank you very much for joining us, Jens and Sib, and sharing all your expertise, all your insights today. It has been an absolute privilege having both of you on the show. And on that note, thank you to all our listeners for joining us one more time in the India Insights Navigating Alliances series. Stay tuned for more episodes where we unravel key insights of the EY partner ecosystem. Until then, if you would like for us to cover any specific topics for discussion, please feel free to share with us on our website or email it to us at markets.eyindia@in.ey.com. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye.